We are on a mission to empower busy women with the tools and skills they need to grow successful, profitable and purposeful handmade creative business.
A business that they are excited to jump out of bed for every single morning.
A business that allows them to quit the day job and start living life how they want to live it.
Welcome to the Handmade Business Podcast with your hosts Anna Maria and Lindsay Warren.
Hi everyone and welcome to this week's episode. I'm really excited today because me and Anna have got a lovely guest with us today, the lovely Nylia from London Cushion. So I'm super excited to hear so much more about her business journey, and we've got some great questions lined up. So I'm really excited for this episode, and I think you will be too, to find out all about Nylia's amazing business journey and what she's up to. So first of all, Nylia, I'm going to ask you just to tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, where you live, family, that kind of thing. So tell us a little bit about you.
Well, hello, Lindsay and Anna. So nice to see lovely faces this morning in this turmoil of lockdown and everything going around us. It's really nice to break through. So I'm Nylia. I was born in Pakistan in my grandmother's house. And then I was 3 weeks old when I joined my dad, who was in Middle East. And I lived there for 13 years of my life. Then came back to Pakistan for high school and then secondary higher education. And then went to college in Pakistan, then got married and came to UK in 2003. And it's been a long time. And now we have 4 kids. They keep me busy. And I love being around them. And I'm going to really miss them when they go back to school. My house will be so empty, and I'm not really looking forward to that.
No, I think that's the thing. Probably, you know, children have been back from uni or homeschooling, and as much as it does feel difficult sometimes, you know, I know when my daughter goes back to school, I am really going to miss her. So it will be a big change. So yeah, I can completely relate to that.
Yes, I love having them around. We play together, we watch, we binge watch TV together, and I think that keeps me sane. Even when they were little, I used to watch CBBS with them. I knew every single character, so I was really into whatever they were into. Yeah. And I think that's the key to my sanity.
I love that.
So Lindsay mentioned at the start there that you have a business called London Cushions. So what is it that you actually, I know the title probably says it, but what do you actually make in your business, and what's your favourite thing to make?
Okay, so London Cushions came into being in 2016, and I started making cushions initially. That's hence the name London Cushions. And I just wanted to create very unique cushions. And I have been told again and again that, yes, we haven't seen these cushions anywhere. I have used designer fabrics as well. And the designers have come back to me and said that people have used our fabrics before, but nobody has used them as how you have used them. So I love adding my sparkles and pom-poms around and sprinkle my magic here and there. So it started with cushions, and with the demand and the need, and sometimes leftover fabric I did not want it, just to throw it away or just waste the fabric, I started making bags and purses as well. And recently I was asked that if I could make tea towels, so I started making tea towels as well. And in 2016, when I began this business, I was using designer fabrics, high street fabrics. But since 2018, at the end of 2018, I pivoted a little bit and I started printing my own fabric. So I hand print the fabric now using London stamps that I carved myself and some wood blocks that I got from Pakistan and some from here as well.
Oh, I absolutely love
I've just got to ask. So how did you learn how to make cushions? How did you learn how to make blocks? How did you learn all of this? where did you get all these skills from? That's amazing. Oh,
yes, it amazes me as well, Anna. It does amaze me, and when I think, I feel very humble as well. That Naila, how could you do this? How did you learn all this? And I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I've never attended a single class for anything. Yes, I had home economics in school and college, but our professor did not teach us anything. They did not teach us how to use the sewing machine or do the proper pattern cutting. I'm still learning. I'm still learning how to do the pattern cutting. It's a completely different field, but I'm completely self-taught. All I have learned is from my imagination and observation. Like these block printing people I used to see in my grandmother's village, and just passing by, I used to see them in the shops. They would be like, on a nice sunny morning, they would be like block printing on the big tables in my grandmother's village. I used to see. We always went to Pakistan in summer holidays. And I used to, the best thing was to visit my grandmother. My grandmother was, I think, an amazing entrepreneur. She was a woman of skills and smile. She had the best smile in the world. I wish I could share her photo with you. She was one chirpy, happy woman that I remember. And I remember her crafts. I remember her her garden and my love for sewing and gardening, and everything comes from her, I think. It runs in my genes and I love it.
Oh, well, I have to say, Naila, you are so lovely and smiley yourself. So I'm sure there's a lot of your grandma in you too, because you really are. You're kind of one of these people that just kind of, I've not been in a room with you, obviously, physically, but virtually, you kind of just light up, you know, our virtual room that we're in. So I think that you know, you definitely got that from your grandmother, definitely. So, and I just love to hear about, you know, how you've taught yourself all of this, you know, and that is a massive you know, ability to be able to teach yourself, because sometimes it's really hard. You know, I'm one of those people that reading instructions, I'm not very good at it. I have to, you know, I have to be shown how to do something. So it's a, you know, you've done so well to be able to teach yourself something. And, you know, I think, you know, we've got followed each other for quite a long time on Instagram, yeah, haven't we? Yeah. And so I've really seen your business evolve over the years. And I love, you know, the block print and the fact that you make those stamps yourself. You know, that makes what you sell so completely sort of individual. So
yes, Lindsay, it's a completely trial and error. I mean, now YouTube has lots and lots and lots of very nice, you can say, treasure of knowledge. Mm-hmm. It's just the best how-to search engine. You go there, you say how to insert a zipper, how to stitch, how to smile, how to talk, everything. You go to YouTube, you go to Google. But in the days when I was learning, I had nobody. My mom used to sew in front of me, but not as like, okay, come here, Naila, today I'm going to teach you this. Not in that manner. She never said, Naila, come here, today we are doing necklines, today we are doing hemmings. No, never like that. So maybe just being in the company of some very good ladies. And I think in those times, there was no technology. There used to be a TV, there used to be FM radio, there used to be books, and that's it, nothing else. Just a couple of girls, we used to sit down in summer afternoon, and we used to do embroidery, we used to stitch together sometimes. We even started doing fabric painting long, long time ago. I think I had finished my high school, that is equivalent to GCSE here. So over there, it was called matriculation examinations. So we had just finished that. And then we had this gap of 3 months time. And we said, OK, that's it. We're going to learn floristry. We're going to learn dry arrangements. We're going to learn how to paint the fabrics and this and that. So I just went to the market, gathered a few tools, and I started painting on fabrics. I think that was the best thing, that I never wasted time. And I just, if whatever I wanted to do, I just got on with it. Regardless of lack of resources, lack of finances as well, because I came from a big family and my mother did not have enough money lying around to throw me on crafts, because crafting is expensive.
Yeah, it is when you get a bit addicted and you want to keep buying the crafty stash, probably that most of our listeners would relate to.
So this is what I did. I just learned from what I had, I used to look at things that, okay, how is this made? I would look at it, I would turn it over, and I will have a look that, okay, how is this patchwork done? And I would pick up few tricks by looking at it. And I'm very, very grateful that it all starts boxing up in my head. I start connecting dots. It's like, I don't know, what was that game? There used to be a game. I've forgotten, it's slipped out of my head. Anyway, so it just starts building up in my head, and as long as it's, I've made it in my head, I can make it on my table.
No, so basically like an engineer. You are basically an engineer, because you're looking at it and you're figuring out how it works and piecing it backwards. I mean, that in itself, never mind the crafting, that in itself is a skill. Like, just to understand how something works and figure out backwards, like, that's amazing.
I used to hang around my grandmother's sewing machine. Just standing next to it has taught me so much about sewing machines, that, okay, this is a sewing machine, that's how we thread, that's how we do this, and that's how we fill the bobbin. Literally, nobody has ever sat down with me and taught me. But I think it's just the observation and the ability or the desire to do and create things. I think it will take you a long way. As long as you have a will to do something, I think we can do anything. I mean, we are going on Mars these days. We are traveling in space. Human being is a very mysterious and capable species, I must say.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. So tell us, what made you start your handmade business, Naila?
I just wanted to do something for myself, Lindsay. I'm going to be very honest with you. Because I left college and got married, because maybe I think I was the eldest daughter in the family, and my dad had just got retired, and he said, okay, I should get married, one of my daughter, marry her off, and, you know, so maybe he could relax a bit, because younger ones were younger than me. And so I got married, and, you know, when you get married and then you move countries, and coming into in-laws with the mindset of that, okay, no, our women don't need to work or don't need to continue education and stuff like that. So my education and my dreams were put on hold, you can say.
Yeah.
And in a way that taken away from me as well. It is quite an emotional thing for me, even today. And I just wanted to pick up the journey where I left it from. Because when I moved with my husband, I brought my all those crafty magazines with me that I used to collect from secondhand shops. When I was doing home economics in Pakistan, because I was a high achieving student, if I did not get married, if I did not come to UK, I think that I would have been somewhere bigger or doing something more. But life throws a curveball at you always, and unexpectedly stuff happens, things happens, and then you change your mindset. And then I got busy with kids, and so I just wanted to left. I just wanted to pick up the pieces where I got disconnected, basically, and then that urge was still in me, that craftiness and creativity was still brewing in me, and I think that was about time that it had to stop boiling and something got to do with it. Although I was, I left a lot of things. I changed a lot about myself and everything. But one thing that I did not leave ever was sewing. I did not ever leave sewing. I kept on sewing, either it's for my children's nursery, either it's for myself, either it's for our Eid outfits or something. I was always sewing, and that's how when I got a little bit of like time from raising children, I said, Naila, it's about time that you do something for yourself. Oh, and so sewing came about, and London Cushions came about when my youngest was a baby. He wasn't even in nursery at that time. But I thought that, okay, Naila, I've done all I wanted to do. I've got four beautiful kids. Let them grow up. And while they're growing up, while I could do something, I should start something of my own. And that's how it came into being.
Oh, that's such an inspiring story, Naila. So thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Yes, Naila, you're completely inspiring, massively inspiring. So, but I just wanted to ask, how did you come up with your name? How did you come up with London Cushions as a business name?
So in my life, I haven't ever sat down and thought a lot about things. I don't dwell on things, and I don't think for years and years that, okay, one day I'm going to start a business. Oh, one day I'm going to do this. No. So I just told my my niece-in-laws about this idea of my business. They were young. They were uni girls. And, I thought that they were the best girls to approach. And I said, girls, I want to start a business. And they were so excited. They said, Mommy Naila, well done. You can do it. And I said, okay, that's it. I'm going to start Instagram and this and that. And she started this page for me. And she said, okay, so what do you want to call it? I said, it has to be something about cushions, because I am mad about cushions. I make my own cushions, and I've got a record. I've never bought a cushion in my life, ever, ever.
I love that.
Even in teen years, even when I was with my mom in Pakistan, I never bought a cushion. I've always stitched my own, even here as well. I've never bought a cushion in my life. And I said, okay, the cushion has to be comfortable. The cushion has to be of certain, I mean, it has to have a purpose on a sofa. It shouldn't be just a decoration piece or something. So I told her that it has to be cushions. And then she chose the name London Cushions, and I just went with it. I said, that's it, London. London is the next thing, because I told her that my ideas are unique designs, and we couldn't think of anything else. And because it's my habit to not to overthink things, I don't like overthinking things. Like now, we are in the middle of building a shed at the back of our garden. And if it was up to me, it would have built in like 2-3 days. It doesn't take more than 2-3 days, but it's up to my husband. That's why it's taken us over 8 months now. And he's still overthinking, oh, this, that. No, I said, no, Khalil, we don't need that. We don't need to do that. Come on, get on with it. So if it was up to him, I mean, because when I told him that, okay, I want to start a business and I want to start this and that, he brought up a big list in front of me. We need to do that. We need to do. I said no. And then while he was asleep one day, I just went into self-employment government website and I just started that. And I said, that's it. I'm self-employed now. No. I don't overthink too much. And
that leads quite nicely then into what I was going to ask you next, which was, what's been one of your, because you said, did you say 2016 was when you opened the show? So you've been going for 5 years now. Yeah. So in that 5 years, what would you say has been your biggest business struggle? Although you may not have had any because you're so, you know, engineer mind, getting on with it, don't overthink it. That sounds like the perfect skills for an entrepreneur.
Oh, yes. Business-wise, I'm okay. It's just family. It's a juggle. That's the juggle I struggle with. And I've got 4 kids, I've got a husband, and I always say, well, it's between you and me. I've got 5 kids. I've got 4 kids. Husbands, I think we have to include them in the child list.
I definitely relate to that one at times.
another struggle that I have been facing for the last few years is driving. I really need to learn how to drive. I mean, I can drive straight, that's fine, but don't tell me to park or reverse. That I need to come over with. That was one of my goals for last year. But last year did not even count, I think. We don't even count last year. Everything was closed and we were not allowed to go outside and lockdown happened. And then when it opened, still we didn't know that, okay, for how long it's going. So I think it's just... it is on my to-do list, definitely. And this year I'm very focused and I'm saying, Naila, no matter what you do, you have to go and just get over with this driving thing, because that is one obstacle that I'm facing right now, that wherever I have to go, either take public transport or ask my husband or Uber. And Uber is good, but it's a headache at times as well. They don't know where I want to go. They don't know how to communicate, some of them, drivers. And so I don't know. It's just been on the list. And I think for the last 2 years, it has been on top of the list.
That's number one on my to-do list as well. And I was meant to learn to drive last year. And then obviously everything went kaput. So this year, as soon as it's on my, it's on my vision board, it's on my to-do list, it's on my post-it notes, it's everywhere, learn how to drive. I've put it off and put it off and put it off. And then now I've got 2 little ones. And especially with everything that's been going on, we now live, because we moved house, so we live about a mile and a half from school. And because my partner was made redundant and he now has got a different job, so he's working days instead of nights, obviously I've got to go and pick the children up from school. So it's a long walk backwards and forwards, the post office when I'm taking my orders. I need to learn to drive, basically. I cannot cope anymore. It's got to stop. So I completely understand. And this year we will both learn to drive.
I know you ladies will meet that challenge, definitely.
Let's
motivate each other.
Definitely.
So Naila, so tell us, what has helped you the most in your business, do you think?
Helped me is organization. I love being organized. One day I want to show everybody on Instagram and other platforms that how organized I am. I've got places. I mean, I've seen a lot of people doing that, keeping buttons in one jar, zips in one drawer, threads properly. So in my free time, what I'm doing my threads. I'm clearing up my sewing box that I know that, okay, We are going to get back into rush time and, you know, Christmas time or summer holidays. In my garden, one day I was doing my threads and my husband came down and he said, from up above, I thought you were eating sweets. I said, I don't eat sweets. The sweets on the table. He looked at me from the window of our bedroom and he saw me in the garden. And he thought I was eating sweets. I said, no, I don't eat sweets. I'm doing my threads. I'm putting them away nicely. So organization. And that's the best thing. Whatever you do, I don't know if you're a painter, if you are a sewist, if you... are a photographer, whatever business you're doing, even if you are a housewife, you need to have your spices, your lentils, your beans, your pantry nicely organized. Otherwise, you will not know. You will keep on buying the same tomato sauce and you will not know that how many you've got. I think organization is the key. You should know how many meters of fabrics you are left with. Do you need to buy more? And if you're going to the market, what do you need to buy next time? You should know how many zips you are left with. You should always have extra pair of needles and stuff like that. So, it's same like running a household. You should know that you're running out of milk, you're running out of bread. You need to stay organized. Your fridge, your pantry, your sewing room should show how organized you are. And it keeps you focused. You can spend your creative time on being creative, not just clearing up the mess all the time. This is what I've learned from my life, that you know, you should wash your dishes before going to bed. So you wake up in the morning, you can have that Instagram worthy cup of tea photo with you and not really waste that. Dishes.
Definitely.
And you can focus on other things and other hobbies like gardening, like reading books. So you can't be cleaning and organizing all day long. You need to make use of the daylight time. I love working during daylight hours, and that's the thing that I want to make most of it. And that's why being organized keeps me focused and makes me use my time wisely.
I think you should definitely be sharing that, because a lot of us, I have to say, I struggle to keep my crafty stash organized at times, Nyla. So if I know there are lots of other crafters out there that do as well. I end up buying a little bit too much and then I don't have room, which tends to be my big problem. And I'm sure lots of people would relate to that. So I think you should definitely share your knowledge and give us some hints and tips on that on your Instagram. I think that'd be amazing. Make sure you tag me when you've done it so I can come and watch and learn from you.
I will.
So what would you say has been the best part about having your own business? I know you spoke at the start about how you wanted to kind of have something that was your own. You wanted to, you know, pick up where you left off. So what's been sort of the highest moment, the best part of having your own business?
The best part is to call something of my own other than my children. So this is my another baby, and I love looking after it, and I love working, and I think the financial independence and your identity, you being so most people don't know my name, but when they see me, they say, oh, London Cushions, that's it. They don't know my name, but they know the logo they have seen somewhere, or they've heard it from somewhere, or they've heard my interview, or they've seen me on TV or newspaper as well. I was spotted on Tube one day. You London Cushions? I said, yes, I am London Cushions.
Fame at last, Nyla. That's what we like to hear.
Yeah. So identity and satisfaction. That's my, I think, highest point. Yes, I've won few recognitions here and there. I was my story was recently published in a book where I think there were 300 other amazing success stories, and where I had a page as well. Although I couldn't write a lot about myself, because I think that is just the humble side of me, that I say, okay, yeah, that's just happened, but there's nothing to brag about it. But yeah, it is that couple of incidents where people have seen my bags and they say that, oh, is it from that store? I said, no, I made it. So I recently went into Westfield. They have two branches here in London. And I went into a store, it's called Cardi. And I went in there and the lady asked that, is this one of ours? I said, no, I made it. And she was like amazed that, wow, did you really? She looked at me from top to toe. I don't know, why couldn't she believe that I could make some? I think the best part is, and one more, when I was chosen for a pop-up shop in 2018, it was a very nice program being run by our local council and another company called Meanwhile Space. So the idea was that they wanted to make the empty shops in use. And they have this lovely idea, and the rent is minimum, very minimum. It's like £400 or £300 a month or something like that. And they would give these incubators to people, or shops to people, to bring the high street to back to life. And so our council was working with it. So I applied, and I went for the interview. It was my first ever interview in my life, and they looked at the photos, they looked at my profile, and the judge asked me this question, that who takes your photos, who does the photography? And I thought they were going to ask me some very difficult questions, like you were asked in Dragon's Den or something. I thought they were going to ask me those kind of questions, your turnover, your this, your that. And but they asked me, who takes your photos? I said, I do. And myself. And she said, they are beautiful. And that was, and still is, I think, the biggest moment. Because when I started out, my brother kept telling me, Naila, you need to edit the photos. Naila, you need to do this. Naila, you need to do that. And I did not know anything about photography or product photography. And I think with experiment, again, I used to binge on Pinterest and I used to look at other people's work that I admire. And I said, what are they doing? What I should learn from them, and make my product that is my blood and sweat has gone into it, but I need to make it presentable. So how do I do that? So yes, with trial and error and playing with daylight, playing with phones and cameras and this and that, there it was, the moment of truth when that lady said to me that, who takes your photos? I said, me, I take them.
And I love that.
I love that. I love that moment that nobody's there to help you. And you, both of you are businesswomen, and I am going to be very, very honest with you and your viewers, listeners. Nobody is going to take your finger and make you walk the steps. No, it's only you yourself who can make things happen. If it was up to my husband or my kids, no. Mom, we're hungry. Mom, we need this. Mom, I need a shirt. I need this. I need that. No, but I mean, everything lies upon me, your shoulder.
So true.
We are the doers. We are the makers. Yeah. If we want to achieve something, we have to. We have to, for our own satisfaction. And I think I just wanted to do better and better at whatever I did. Either it's cooking, either it's sewing, either is photography, and it's just with experimentation, I think.
I think they're great sort of high points. They're really good high points and, you know, inspiring for, you know, other business owners. So I'm excited to know, Nyla, what is the future for London Cushions? What are your goals?
Goals. Yes, I want to. It has been at the back of my mind that one day, I will do something greater with it. At the moment, I don't know, with this pandemic, it has just limited my my mental capacity, I think.
Yeah. And,
it has put a cap on it. But in the future, I really want it to go worldwide properly. And why not either have it in John Lewis or Marks and Spencer's or I don't know, places like that. And I want London Cushions to go global properly.
I love that.
Yeah.
So good.
Amazing answer. Love that answer. Yes. And I've got to just ask before it goes out of my head, you said that you were in a book. What was the book's name? Because I'm going to have to go and find it.
Yes, it was My Story. It was by, she is a mindset coach, the lady herself. She's an author, or she has written a couple of other books. Musarrat Ilahi, I will give you the link. It used to be on my Linktree links. I think it's still there, but I'll have a look. And I couldn't believe when I was approached that, Nyla, we want to publish your story. I said, who? Which Nyla? Me, Nyla? Really? It was very nice. It was very humbling. Very humbling.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you've had such an amazing journey with, you know, being featured in all sorts of different publications. And like you said, you've already been on another podcast as well. Did you say you've also been on TV? Did you say that? Yes, I did.
Maybe
celebrity. So, but what have you found to be something that's really surprised you along this journey? I mean, it sounds like you've had a million and one surprises, but what's been the biggest surprise for you along this journey?
Biggest surprise. I will count them all as surprises, because as humble as I am, and I'm truly humbled by all of the achievements that I have achieved. And in our language, we say Alhamdulillah, that all praises to the God. Because when I look back, Anna and Lindsay, I don't think that I could achieve that. When I look back, I don't see myself that, oh, Nyla, you've achieved so much. And everything has come to me as a surprise. My first fair, when it was a school fair, I started from a summer school fair, and the table costed me £5. And there I was with my, I think, 30-odd cushions. And the school business manager came up to my table and they said, we would like to place an order of 30 cushions from you. So that was the first surprise for me. And till date, I have to pinch myself that, Nyla, really? I mean, while I was stitching those cushions, I was told, and you hear these whispers in your own head, because you doubt yourself. You say, Nyla, who's going to buy your cushions? You're spending so much money. You're doing this. You're spending hours on the sewing machine. And you have this idea that, oh, I'm going to start a cushion business. But who's going to buy your cushions? Who are your customers? And there it was. First stall, first venture out. And there I was. I came home with only a couple of few cushions left from that stall day. And a huge order in my bank. That was the biggest surprise. And Yes, so I have been surprised several times like these. All these things, achievements surprises me, Anna. They do. Like when I was selected for this TV interview, it was a local channel, they wanted to interview me as a successful, inspiring Muslim story. And they were looking for Muslim women. And somebody nominated me. And I was surprised and humbled yet again. I said, really? Am I going to be on TV? And that is amazing.
Oh, that is so brilliant, Ida. That really, really is. So thank you so much for sharing that. So to finish off our interview with you today, what do you think is your best top tip to share with other handmade business owners?
The best thing is that don't overthink. I always say that. Please stop overthinking. Stop being the perfectionist. This, yes. Tweak things later on. You can evolve. You can pivot. You can do so many things later on. But the dream that you've been having, the dream that have been keeping you awake for nights, as it had kept me awake for nights, and I just wanted to do something. So stop dwelling on it. Start doing something. Now is the day. And I think the motto that I had heard, I don't know who said it, now or never. I read it in my school library somewhere and I just said it, yes, Naila, now or never. Today is the day. Get up, do it. Don't overthink too much. And don't overspend as well.
Yes.
Keep your finances in control as much as you can. No matter what business you are in, your photography, painting, embroidery, anything, please don't overspend. Buy secondhand things as much as possible. These days, you should always look at your finances and save some for the rainy day. And it's really important, because if you're in the experimental stages, that's the best thing, that don't buy something absolutely brand new that you don't even know how to use. Later on, you'll realize that, oh, I don't need such a big sewing machine. I could do with a small one. So don't go overboard. Don't overthink and stay organized. Try to have a tidy space. Workspace and tidy mindset. You need a tidy mindset.
That is just great advice. Yeah, what a great way to, you know, end the interview, Naila. That is just absolutely such good advice, you know, for all other handmade business owners. I think they'll, you know, definitely be inspired by all what you've shared with us today. Wouldn't you agree, Anna?
Absolutely. Thoroughly enjoyed listening to your story and your journey and your achievements and your future goals. Amazing. Really thoroughly enjoyed today. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Tavina, for inviting me and having me. Thank you very much.